Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to Starseed Radio Academy, empowering Starseed to better serve the planet.
Welcome to Starseed Radio Academy. It's Tuesday, February 18th, 2014, and I'm your host, Arielle Taylor, with my co-hosts, Lavendar and Anastasia. Well, Mercury will go direct on the 28th of this month, and from what I've been hearing, it's been a nasty one, especially with electronics, so hang in there. We are excited to have Jill Renee Feeler back with us this evening. Jill's a spiritual teacher, interdimensional messenger, published writer, intuitive healer, and inspirational visionary for thousands of beings across the globe seeking reunion with their highest vibrational access. She hosts her own radio show here on Blog Talk called Beacon for Lightworkers and offers online classes and workshops, retreats, and private sessions. You can visit her website at theplatinumage.com. That's, T-H-E, theplatinumage.com. Jill will be talking with us about her journey of expanding awareness and how she's connected with her star guardians, ascended masters, angelic realms, and teaches how you can open that door too. And once again, her website is theplatinumage.com. Well, our next Crystal Quest to Arkansas starts on Pleiadian lineup in May, and there are only 3 spots left. So if you have the required star markings on your charts and want to learn more about it, let us know quickly. Those markings are 25, 26, 27 degrees in Aquarius, Leo, Cancer, Capricorn, Taurus, or Scorpio. Just send an email to crystals@starseedhotline.com for more info. At the top of the show, it's the Starseed News segment with Anastasia, bringing topics of interest to Starseed and sharing some emails from our listeners. We'd like to thank Fiona for hosting our switchboard this evening, and you're welcome to call in with comments or questions. The number to dial is 917-889-8292, and remember to press 1 on your keypad so we know you want to come on the air. If you like our show, please take a minute to click follow on our show page. And if you haven't visited our website, which is starseedhotline.com, make sure you take a look in the vault to find a wealth of Starseed information, plus audio and video resources. You can find us on iTunes if you'd like to download our shows to go, or download them right from our show page archives. Also, we have a forum for Starseeds at starseedhotline.ning.com, and we'd like to thank Rose and Tammy for their dedication to the forum. The toll-free number for our website is 888-881-0881. The Stage 1 Starseed confirmations are based on Lavendar's discovery of star markings and your natal astrological chart. And the Stage 2 session is a one-on-one phone session available with Lavendar, Anastasia, or myself. Remote healing sessions for people and pets are also available with Tammy. And if you have a birthday coming up, you can find out how to make the most of your 10 hours of power by requesting your solar return timing. And now I would like to introduce my co-hosts, Lavendar and Anastasia. Good evening, ladies.
Good evening, everybody. Hey, Lavendar, are you there?
I'm here, and I'm ready for the news. What do you have for us tonight?
Well, as always, it's been very busy in the world. A lot is going on. Those of you that watch mainstream television may have heard about this asteroid. According to spaceweather.com, they're saying that it's hype, that the major news outlets have been reporting the close approach of a huge asteroid to Earth yesterday and today, February 18th. The asteroid is called 2000 EM26. They say it's about as wide as 2 football fields and is flying past our planet 2 million miles away at 27,000 miles per hour. Well, spaceweather.com says that's all true, but it's also all hype. They say this asteroid is a little different, or is really no different than a half a dozen other space rocks that have already whizzed past the Earth at similar distances in February, including one, they say, 2006 DP14, that's almost 4 times larger. They say the sudden attention to this particular asteroid, EM26, is disproportionate to its actual uniqueness or potential impact. So it's kind of like we talked about on the news last week. The media really is getting extraordinarily hysterical about a lot of events while ignoring things that they really should be telling us about. But they say that on February 17th, this is also according to spaceweather.com, they say a magnetic filament erupted from the sun's western limb. NASA's Solar Dynamics Observatory captured this high-resolution image of the blast, and it's fascinating. As you look at the picture on the Internet, it's pretty impressive, people. They say that because of its location on the sun's western limb, the eruption did not send a coronal mass ejection toward Earth. However, they say there was an effect on our planet. They say that shortwave radio loudspeakers were roaring with static, and that's an event they call a Type 2 radio burst. They say that the explosion sent shockwaves rippling through the sun's atmosphere, and those shockwaves in turn triggered plasma instabilities in the solar corona that happens to emit strong radio emissions. They say that the staticky roar of the explosion was picked up by solar observatories and ham radio stations across the day side of our planet. They say that based on the sweep of radio frequencies from 20 megahertz to 500 megahertz, analysts estimate a shock velocity of 1.7 million miles per hour. Now, that sounds fast according to weather, but they say it's typical for that type of eruption. That is a lot of energy. And if you ever get a chance, listeners, to take a look at diagrams of the size of the Earth in comparison to the sun, oh, my goodness. The sun is a massive star and with a tremendous amount of energy. It's just, words can't describe that. So it normally projects things at very fast speeds, and 1.7 million miles per hour is quite beyond my imagination. But anyway, it did interfere with shortwave radio. And on February 17th, that was yesterday, the All Sky Fireball Network reported 11 fireballs. Well, there have been a whole lot more reports coming into meteor counting websites. There was an overhead bolide explosion in Argentina that shook several towns. This happened today. There was a loud explosion that was heard with strong tremors that were felt by at least seven towns in the center and western part of Argentina. People said, "We heard an explosion and the windows shook." Now, the Astronomical Observatory did affirm that it had been a fireball which disintegrated in the air. However, later today, an update on that was that astronomers are now thinking it made an impact into the land. There were no reports of victims or damages, but they are beginning to take a look now that it actually had an impact in Argentina. It hit the ground. Two dead and 200,000 people were told to evacuate as Indonesia's Mount Kelud erupts. We talked about that last week. They're saying now that a spectacular volcanic eruption in Indonesia has killed at least two people and forced mass evacuations, disrupting long-haul flights and closing international airports on Friday. Now, they consider Mount Kelud to be one of the most dangerous volcanoes on the main island of Java. They say that it spewed red-hot ash and rocks high into the air late into the night, and so it is very active at the moment. 19 more volcanoes in Indonesia were raised to alert level status. The government has raised the status on these 19 volcanoes to the second highest category, and they've done that in the wake of the Mount Sinabung eruption in northern Sumatra that killed 16 people on Saturday. Now, this is another volcano that is erupting. Now, besides the 19 new additions, three volcanoes have been on high alert status since last year. So a lot of volcanic activity across the planet. We're not even touching all of them, but those are two that are making the headlines, as well as the 19 more they've raised to high alert status. Thousands of Arctic songbirds also, we're going from hot to cold here, from fire to ice, but thousands of Arctic songbirds have invaded an Ohio farmstead. Sorry, you guys, I'm kind of losing my place here on my page. Anyway, there were photographs of that on the Internet, and it was astonishing. This is a man who feeds birds, the person that was featured in this article. He loves to feed birds, and they have come into his property to where there is just clouds and clouds of these Arctic songbirds. And we talked about that last week, how these Arctic birds are coming further south, which raises the question, are they following electromagnetic or magnetic lines on the planet? What's going on with the Earth's magnetism that these birds are now orienting themselves further south? Something to think about. And in Mammoth Mountain in California, there has been a magmatic intrusion. There's been an earthquake swarm at Mammoth Mountain that's been going on for more than a week. Now, they say, of course, no eruption yet. We hope never, but they say there's plenty of quakes. Now, California's Long Valley Caldera, right near Mammoth Mountain, is the largest supervolcano on the planet. And in the last week, they had really a lot of earthquakes. The most intense was a magnitude 3.0. The problem with all of this is, since, you know, it is fairly mild, but the problem is they say that the earthquakes are increasingly shallow. And to them, that signals that magma may be about to get closer to the surface. So all eyes are on Mammoth area because of that. So we don't know what's going to happen there. Strange howling sounds awakened a lot of residents of St. Paul, Minnesota. A distant howling, scraping sound got people up about 4 a.m. In St. Paul. They don't know what causes it. They haven't found a source of it, but interestingly enough, this ties in with the strange sky sounds and other unknown sounds and booms that have been occurring not only in the United States, but all over the world. And New Zealand experienced a very sad grounding or stranding of orca whales. Marine biologists are completely puzzled by the mysterious deaths of 9 orca whales that were stranded in New Zealand just a few days ago. New Zealand experts continue to investigate to try to figure out why these whales are stranding themselves, and they call it the third largest stranding of the species in New Zealand. They say that when you look at it from an international perspective about, you know, how often whales are stranding themselves, which is becoming more and more frequent, they say that it could be included in the world's top 10 strandings. People are talking about it, wondering if maybe the earthquakes in that part of the country, that part of the world, are causing these whales to beach themselves, but nobody really has any clue. They're just scratching their heads. And in Edgefield, South Carolina, there was an earthquake that was magnitude 4.1. That's pretty unusual. And in Japan, you know, they had another snowstorm, which is really relatively unusual for them. I mean, they do get snow in Japan. Of course they do. But this was a record snowstorm. It affected Tokyo and all parts of Japan. They said that it left thousands of people stranded in a death toll of 23. It's their second storm in probably 30 days. And Philadelphia has reached a 130-year-old snow record. That's really something. They say for the first time in the city's history, there have been 4 6-inch snowfalls or more in the season, and they are in the top 5 snowiest winters of all time. And speaking of the snow, this is really something. Just a few days ago, this was a news that broke out of USA Today, so this is about, today's Tuesday, this was about 4 days ago. They claimed that there was snow on the ground in 49 out of our 50 states. They say that they're including Hawaii because at the highest elevations on the big island of Hawaii, there is snow. And they say that only the Sunshine State of Florida is completely snow-free. 49 out of 50 states have had snow on the ground. That's really something.
Wow.
And the Great Lakes are almost completely frozen. It's been so cold for such a long time in the Great Lakes region that the lakes are now almost completely covered with ice for the first time in 20 years, and ice cover has reached 88% across the 5 lakes, the most since 1994, when actually 94% of their surface was frozen. So that is a lot of ice. Those are very big lakes. And astronomers have discovered the oldest star in the universe, according to them. According to them, yes. 13.6 billion years. And this occurred in Australia because Australian astronomers found this star. After 11 years of searching, the star was discovered using the SkyMapper telescope at the Siding Spring Observatory. They say that this star was formed shortly after the Big Bang, and which they say was 13.7 billion years ago. And astronomers are claiming that finding this very ancient star is giving us insight into our fundamental place in the universe. They say that it is about 6,000 light years from Earth, relatively close, they think, in astronomical terms. And so that is a big finding for astronomers. They're just having breakthrough findings all the time. But this particular discovery was published in the latest edition of the journal Nature. Well, maybe you all remember hearing about the Corvettes that were swallowed by a 40-foot sinkhole in Bowling Green, Kentucky, inside the National Corvette Museum. That was news. Maybe some of you have heard about it, but certainly it did happen. A sinkhole opened up inside of the National Corvette Museum in Bowling Green early in the morning before the museum opened, and it swallowed up 8 vintage Corvettes that were sitting there on display. The sinkhole was about 40 feet wide and at least 25 feet deep. No one was hurt, but that is something that is going on in a disproportional amount of frequency all over this planet. In fact, they say that sinkholes are opening up all over Britain at a terrifying 5 times the normal rate. They say that they don't know why, and they think that the excessive rains in the UK have had something to do with that. But, you know, these sinkholes are opening up everywhere. They said that in one place in the UK, there was a sinkhole that swallowed up half of a front lawn that was 35 feet wide and 20 foot deep. And they're getting bigger and bigger. One of the sinkholes in the UK a couple of weeks ago swallowed up the whole entire, like, 4 lanes of highway. So some of these are getting really big. They're swallowing up houses. There was one in the Far East that I saw on the Internet that swallowed up 5 houses. They catch these things on video cams, which are just running for security purposes all the time. And the video that I watched, you could just watch the ground crack. One house went in, then 2, then pretty soon 3. And so I don't know. I don't know what's going on with that, but there's a lot happening underground because it's not strong under our feet like it used to be. The ground is giving way. And metaphorically, as we go through these changes, I suppose psychologically, emotionally, and on a 3D materialistic level, in many ways, the ground is giving way under people's feet because things are changing and shifting. So I find it to be an interesting metaphor and probably an even more interesting earth change that's occurring. I don't talk about the sinkholes a lot because we have so many other things to talk about, but they really are very, very common and happening with increasing frequency. So that's it for tonight's news. I'm looking forward to the show.
Well, as are we. Thank you so much, Anastasia.
You're so welcome.
we're just hoping, Claire, that Mercury goes straight, direct really, really soon. And it's warming up. At least all of our snow is gone. So I'm glad about that. We're not used to it down here.
Well, it's been really nice here, too. I think it's going to be 65 in a couple of days. They're forecasting that. So that's kind of a nice respite.
I actually saw my first daffodil today.
Oh, you're kidding. Really?
Really?
Oh, that's great.
Yes.
Oh, thanks for sharing that with us.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah,
man. Oh, yum. That's wonderful, everybody. That's just, let's celebrate. That's beautiful.
The first little harbinger of a new season.
Oh, I love that. Thank you.
Well, thank you so much for the news, Anastasia. And we are going to bring our guest on here now. So I'd like to introduce Jill Renee Feeler. And let me just get your microphone. There it is. Now it's open. Good evening, Jill. Welcome.
Thank you. I'm so happy to be here again.
We're glad to have you back. Lavendar is here as well.
I'm here, Jill.
Hi.
Hey. So I wanted to start off tonight by having you tell us a little bit about your journey and how that prior to 2009, some of the things that brought you to the place that where you are today. If you would just kind of give us a rundown on some of the things that happened to you to the synchronizations of your awakening. I guess that's
okay.
What I'd like for you to talk about.
Okay. So for the first 38 and 39 years of my life, I just really knew myself as the human Jill. I didn't know anything about interdimensionality. I wasn't even interested in things of a metaphysical sort of nature. So I considered myself very normal. I had a corporate career at the time that I was very engaged with, 2 young daughters, and a husband, and I just kept myself busy with those things. And as somebody like Lavendar can find in my chart, there was these activations that were apparently just destined to sort of go off. So the way that I experienced it were a set of, it almost felt like planned synchronicities now that I look back on it, where there were two different business decisions that to me felt just like, you know, whoa, I got to figure this out. I was so stressed out about which business I should go forward with. And my sister-in-law jokingly said, well, you should go see my psychic. And I thought that was a really ridiculous idea. I'd never done anything like that, never had my astrology chart done or really anything of that nature. And I, at some point, just realized, well, how can this hurt? I wasn't afraid. I just didn't think it was going to be valuable. But for some reason, I became open to the idea. And a few days later, I had my very first intuitive session with somebody, and I left that woman's office thinking that what I thought was so important actually mattered very, very little in the grand scheme of things. So I started to open, literally, energetically, to another way of experiencing myself and experiencing this world. And it was more fun. It was more interesting. It was less clear-cut and less linear, which I actually enjoyed. And within, I think it was 9 months or 6 months later, I found myself sitting in a psychic development workshop in my area, and I did my very first intuitive reading using psychometry, where you're holding someone else's jewelry, and it felt like such a natural ability. I knew whose ring it was. I had a lot of information that could be validated there on the spot. I had like a page full of notes that were just streaming from somewhere within me. And I left that night thinking that was the most meaningful kind of gift or service I've ever to offer anyone. And it felt valuable and real and tangible in a way that nothing in my business or corporate background ever felt like. So I wanted more. I gave free readings to pretty much anyone who would let me. All of my relatives got free readings. And I practiced for about a year, and it just naturally unfolded in terms of I trusted what I was experiencing. I chose not to deny what was coming forward from within me. And I just really loved it, and I've just let it continue to expand since then. And the messages that I receive/create as my team, kind of is the way that I look at it, team of beings in the highest realms, of which I consider I'm an ambassador, a human representation of them. There are just so many profound and really, really loving really insights and recommendations on what's happening here in this reality, and they're always very honoring of humanity, and that's kind of a vibrational hallmark for me. If it's not honoring and loving of humanity, then I really don't want anything to do with it. So I've kind of set my standards there in terms of what I look for and what I want to offer in personal sessions. It needs to be uplifting and honoring of where we are right now to continue to allow us to continuously unfold, really, as the infinite beings that we are.
So beautifully said.
You know,
thank
when you.
You
were doing the psychometry, did you feel like that you were actually picking up the energy of the person, or how did you go about, you know, discovering this? And did you use photos to look at people? And
yes.
Do you use that now? Or are
no.
You
Yeah, not now. So there was a group of us in this class, and we started with psychometry, and then we went to photos. And then we weren't in the classroom anymore, but we were all just so excited. So we would meet, I think it was once a week, we would get together and practice on each other. We'd ask for guests to come in so we could all read them. It was really fun. I felt kind of bad for the person getting 10 readings in one night, but they seemed to enjoy it. But I felt like I kind of I was just so led from within, Lavendar, in terms of, I at one point said, we don't need pictures. And they were like, wait a minute, what? And I was like, let's just try it. I don't think we need these. So we just kind of continuously were expanding and exploring what we felt was available within us. For me, the information, if that's a great question in terms of where did it feel like it was coming from. To me, it felt like an inner voice, and that inner voice was connected to a level of what I call source consciousness that was sort of omnipresent. It knew everything about me. It knew everything about the other person in terms of a valuable nature and an uplifting, supporting, very loving energy to assist and encourage and guide that we offer. So we don't tell anyone what to do. That, to me, denies our free will and our sovereignty in our human experience. But we always have ideas of, you know, things to try and things to encourage and what's probably going to go more smoothly than other tactics or dreams, et cetera.
Okay, and how about your children? You know, as mm-hmm. they started changing, did you see a change in them?
What I actually think happened is that it was me who changed, because there was, after that very first intuitive reading, it literally was like cracking an egg, not in a messy, ooey-gooey way, in a glorious way. my shell was cracked in all the profound, lovely ways, that I was more open to a version of how we can know energy. And I remember there was one morning, probably about October, and my meeting with that intuitive was, I think, late June of 2008, that would have been. And my 8-year-old, she was, I think, 3 at the time, and she was sitting on my lap eating breakfast. Nobody else was awake in the house. My husband had already gone to work, and no TV was on. It was just quiet as a mouse as she ate her breakfast, and I was just sitting and enjoying her sitting on my lap. And she said, "Why did you say Obama?" And it was right before the presidential, the Democratic convention, where they still hadn't chosen whether it was going to be Hillary or Barack. And I was thinking about Barack Obama because I had a friend who was a strong supporter of Barack Obama, and I was imagining that conversation later in the day, but I wasn't saying anything out loud. And she didn't know the word Obama. And I looked at her and I said, "I didn't say Obama." And she said, "Yeah, you did. I heard you." And I quickly realized what was happening. She was basically telepathically connecting with me, and I was realizing what was going on. So I immediately just, I felt this, you know, the hair stand up on the back of your neck kind of in this glorious way, and I immediately felt in my heart, "Georgia, I love you so much." And I didn't say it, and she leaned back into me to give me a hug, and she looked up at me and smiled as if I would have said it with my mouth.
Wow.
And
that's,
I was just
a moment.
Yeah, exactly. Moment. And it was things like that where I couldn't deny it. I didn't care what I could prove to anyone else. I knew for me what was very real and just as tangible as my 5 human senses. And it was definitely my daughters that led me to that experience of, that's why I was in the psychic development workshop, was to better understand my kids, because I was so in my head, you guys. And, you know, this experience with my 3-year-old then, I was thinking, I really need to get control over what I am thinking. And not, I don't want to use the word control, I guess, but I need to be more aware of what's going on in me so that I'm clear with what they are receiving from me that I didn't know they were ever receiving. So as I was in that class, then the big surprise for me was, it wasn't just about me understanding my daughters. It was also about me understanding layers and layers of myself that I otherwise had not known.
Tell us
a little bit about your
older daughter when she saw the car like your grandma's.
Yes, yeah, that story is so fun. So Jeff and I, my husband of 20 years, we had this experience at one point where George or Olivia, I think she was probably maybe 2 or 4. I can't remember if it happened before or after the, what I call my activation, my first activation. She said, "That car is like Grandma Nana's." And Jeff and I both said, "Yeah, that is like Grandma Nana's." And then I realized, wait a minute, I looked at Jeff and I said, "That was your mom's car before Olivia was born." And he just kind of like paused to kind of put it all together. And then he looked at me like, "Oh, wow, you know, this is kind of cool." So we just had these, I mean, you know, our children are so much more than we experience them as when we're operating from just our 5 human senses. It's really amazing.
How about your husband? Did he grow with you with all these changes that were happening with you? Was he growing at the same time?
You know, he is really not seeking the sort of spiritual experiences that some of us just love and crave and can't get enough of. He has a, you know, very mainstream career, and he values that and appreciates that. And I think at the beginning, I was disappointed that he wasn't as excited about what was going on with me as I was. And then what I, again, my, what I call my team, the energy and the highest realms that I feel I'm a, an expression of, just pointed out some different ways that I had the opportunity to look at it as, that there are many things that he's very passionate about that I don't, that I'm not interested in either. And it didn't need to be, you know, a relationship divide in any way. And that another way for me to approach it is to really appreciate the blessing of the foundation that we do have and just look for that sort of engagement and interaction with others that are more naturally inclined. But to force anything on him didn't feel right. And I, you know, if he wasn't authentically excited, then I didn't want to pretend that he was. So at first he probably vacillated more towards tolerated than accepted. And I, my sense is that now he's excited for what's happening, and the, you know, the people obviously that he knows I'm helping and assisting in finding another way to really enjoy and recreate what humanity is. But I mean, he doesn't watch my videos. He doesn't. He came to me once with he came with me once to a healing fair to help me, and that was a big deal in the Tetons. But otherwise, he is a very high vibe person that is choosing, I believe, divinely to not express that consciously.
Well, he's probably a grounding force for you. Mm. It's like if both of you were going in this direction, you
yes.
would hold your feet on the ground.
I really, my husband and my children both do a fabulous job of playing, you know, many, many roles of them being themselves. And yes, part of the assistance and support they offer me is, I mean, before the show, I'm putting laundry away. I need to be balanced energetically, and I see the purpose in that. It's
so
wonderful.
Tell us a little bit about some of the gatherings that you've been putting together. I know that you had a group of women last summer. I sent these crystals to your group.
Yes, you did.
Things that were happening there, if you can.
Yeah,
I don't want you revealing any deep secrets. Or
okay.
Give us of what you do with the women.
So it was actually a group. So far I haven't been let to do things that are gender specific. And I was even, I had applied to do a presentation up in Seattle. I think it was actually like this coming weekend. And I backed off for various reasons. That it just didn't feel like it was a match for what they were looking for and what I was joyous about offering. But I invite really everything, and I'm very inclusive of divine energy, whether it be divine feminine or divine masculine or whatever gender somebody may be in their human form. But I invited 25 people, or maybe it was 20, to get together last September in Park City, Utah. I felt very divinely led in terms of where we were meeting and why. And there were various experiences and activations and just beautiful, lovely things that I was feeling led to offer and experience with this group. So one of the things that was shown to me was that we would go into the tombs. I don't want to say tombs in terms of like the bodies, but museums and archives where there are stored artifacts of really containers of divine energy, if you will, that have been stored by royalty and the Vatican and so forth. And I said, do we need permission for this? And they just looked at me and laughed. And they said, they're yours. You could look at them as they've been safely kept for you. So we went through an amazing experience, and it was very clear to me that all of us that were there were each offering another layer of the experience. So it was very beautiful to have my connection to guide the process and then have really all of us that were feeling led to share what that meant for them and what they, you know, visualized in their divine mind's eye. And at the end of that particular experience, they asked us to bow our heads, and I thought we were going to get a blessing from our team, and they said, put your own hand on your head. And they said, you have the authority to bless yourself. You don't need a bishop or a priest to do this anymore. And I just started weeping. It was hard to kind of hold my Jill self together because it just felt so the magnitude of what we were accessing and releasing energetically for all of us. Those are human records, and they belong to all of us.
Wow. Yeah.
So that's just one example.
Well, I know that so many people have been raised in the Catholic Church or through religions that say,
mm-hmm.
bow your head and wait for a blessing. And to me, that's very disempowering because
yes.
energy, first of all, you're looking down, your energy's down, it's not
up. Yes.
So I'm always, you know, trying to tell my clients, put your face in the wind, put your face in the sun.
That's right.
It just
yes.
be really present with your, you know, your I am presence.
That's
know?
Right.
Don't be waiting for a blessing. If you want a blessing, just reach out there and get it and bring
yes.
it to yourself. And that's the way
exactly.
I
exactly.
Exactly. Kind of tough sometimes to my clients that way, you know, I say soul and just go for those masterships, you know.
Yes.
But I really have seen such a change in you, Jill, from the first time that I talked to you to now. You are really evolving.
Thank you.
Present your materials and I'm just extremely, extremely proud of you.
Thank you so much. That means a lot to me. It was so fun because when we met, it was a month after I'd done my presentation at the LA Conscious Life Expo, which is now a free documentary online. And it was so perfect because I kept thinking that I needed to meet with you before, and it wasn't possible. I was going to meet with you right before my birthday in March of 2012, and I had my presentation in February. And I just kept thinking, I wish I was meeting with Lavender before, but for some reason, this is the way it's meant to be. And I think it was important for me to have those activations from you and the Starseed marking chart experience that blew my mind in all the good ways. It was such amazing confirmation. And there's so many things that really a lot of us do to assist us in making it real. We don't have a lot of foundational structure energetically with which to place the divine energy that we are eternally. So it sometimes seems maybe to us so simple, but the effect that we can have on people by helping them practically see themselves through divine eyes so that they can, if you will, access their divine energy accordingly is so, so monumental.
Yes, you know, and I think one of the things that happened to you was that your natural state and your rites of passage started getting activated, you know, one step at a time. And then I think that you were experiencing some what we call time release capsule burst.
Yes. Yes, very much so. And it was so fun because I remember the first interdimensional communication I felt, which some would call channeling. The reason I don't call it channeling, and I think I mentioned this last time, but there might be some folks that didn't hear our first conversation, that the reason I don't call it channeling is because when I hear the word channeling, as it's most often referred to, it feels like it's a separate entity from the human that's kind of taking over. And that's never how it feels to me. It feels like the most authentic and pure loving aspect of source energy of which I am that's expressing itself. So obviously I have a very kind of different view of humanity. I don't look at us as pawns. I don't look at us as, you know, trapped energy in this reality. I really feel like part of what I assist with is helping humanity restore its inherent sovereignty, and that can't be done for us. That is an inside job, which is why so many of us volunteered to be human at this time.
Yeah, absolutely. Would you share with us some of the new information that you have, you know, brought forth in some of your or some of the new things that would really help our listeners to know about? Because, you know, a lot of people that listen to our show are awake already. And
yes.
They're just looking for the next step, the next thing
right.
to bring them more into alignment. So anything
yes.
you'd like to share with us at this time, something maybe that you didn't share with us before when you were
mm-hmm.
on the radio show, something?
Oh, I'd love to. And if you don't mind, I'll just kind of pause for a minute and kind of connect with the team there so that I can – have something live and fresh here because we really share new information probably two or three times a month. So there's always something new and fresh that we're offering here. There was an amazing meditation experience I had today, though, and I think that we're going to talk about that. So let me just pause for a second here. As more and more of you are becoming in tune with your source energy, there is heightened invocation abilities that we wish to remind you of. One of the experiences that we did today in a meditation was to invoke kind of like an automatic clearing process of really any programs or really almost like implants or devices that are perpetuating the separation age experience for those that are consciously choosing to consciously experience their creator ability. In other words, for those that state consciously, I desire to know my God self. I desire to know source creator energy, not by what someone else says, but from me, in confirmation that I feel within myself or energy that I feel led to express and be from within myself, that when that energetic intent is clear, that it becomes even easier to access that source energy. Any of the blockages, any of the veils, that those are more readily removed and really alchemized truly so that source energy can become even more speedily harnessed by the individual. So there are many of an experienced audience like this that may have those moments where they feel like you've done it all, like there's nothing new for you. Do you really think that you would disappoint yourself and allow yourself to become bored among one of the most radical transformations of humanity that has ever taken place, of which you are also a key member and a key representative? You did not come to be bored. You all came to be delighted and energized. And yes, there are things that can be concerning, and yet the abilities for accessing the consciousness of source energy is growing by leaps and bounds. And if you're not seeing that within yourself, then we ask you to spend more time with yourself so that you can. It is present, it is available, and it is becoming deeper and more sustainable with every breath of your consciousness expansion. So we're never done. We are infinite energy, and what that means is that there is no finish line, because if there was, we would get bored, and then as creator beings, we would create something new to explore. We'd create new realities. We'd create new life forms within which we can experience ourselves, and it doesn't have to be about fueling ourselves from drama. It can truly be more and more fueling ourselves with the love of source energy, with compassion and reverence for life of all forms, shapes, and varieties. And that feels complete for now.
Oh, goodness, yeah, wow. You just that was very deep, and yet it flew in the airwaves really, really fine. It touched a lot of people, I'm sure.
Felt like a little jump start to me.
A little jump start, yeah. So do you have any seminars or anything coming up that you can tell our audience about?
Oh, yes, definitely. There was a series of 10 two-hour information sessions that we called the Embracing the New Energy series, and that was originally created and received by my team in the fall of 2011. And I was led to reshare that information. So go back into the notes, refresh anything that needed refreshing, and some of it I did feel led to refresh. And we did it as a group experience. So there was a group of us from October through December that spent these 10 weeks in these online experiences with videos released on a certain date and the audio file and the notes to the file, the detailed notes of what was shared. So you get the written, you get the audio, you get the visual. And then we had 1 hour each week of live question, discussion, and answer time where we could really spend that time together and discuss and share experiences and ask questions. And it was so wonderful. And I thought, well, that was just too much fun. I've got to do that again. So now we're doing that again right now, January through March, and then another series is kicking off May 1st, 2014 of this year, and it'll wrap up just around Independence Day. And that information has been so fun to share, Lavendar, because what I realize is that it energetically adjusts us no matter how long or short we've been on our spiritual journey. It is independent of chronological age or chronological duration of spirituality on this planet. And it energetically allows us to expand, to hold more room for our amazing divine energy. So it helps us explore our beliefs and truths. And, of course, we don't say what to believe, but we help point out some of the very unconsciously limiting energy patterns that we as humanity have basically adopted over the past tens of thousands of years that assist in creating the separation age, but now we're not choosing the separation experience any longer. So revisiting those is profound and amazing, and the feedback that I get from these group experiences is just delightful. And again, people that have been on their journey for 20 years or 20 days, just it's really, really empowering information. So that's starting May 1. We have another retreat coming up in September. I do encourage for those that are considering the retreat to really spend a good deal, I would say at least 5 hours of time with the other information that I share. What we do is so unique that sometimes an expectation of that they're just going to be, you know, able to sit in a chair for 2 days and I share everything and it's not participative, that's not what we do. I really expect that everybody that's led to participate in this very small intimate group setting in Park City, that we're all contributing to the process. That's the purpose of it, really. So it's fun. That's really fun. So that's in September of this year. And then there's remembering workshops, and I think we've shared 33 of those already, and I share one or two a month, and they're all available in archives. It's truly timeless information. There was actually just a participant of an April 2013 discussion, which was a message from Mary Magdalene that was so loving and so empowering and so uplifting and expansive. And she said, I don't know how I missed this one, but I'm so glad I heard it exactly today because it was perfect for me. And then I was listening to it again this morning, and I was like, oh, yeah, that's right. There's all of these new layers that are available no matter when it was originally shared. So the remembering workshops and those happening live or in the archives are an amazing resource. Private sessions are really fun because that's where we can really start to tap in energetically with some of maybe the mismatches energetically between what is the state of desire and yet what's happening energetically. We talk about relationships. There's no set format that I follow. I'm just guided by our joint teams on what they feel led to share and express. And then we always have Q&A time to discuss really anything that the client wants to kind of engage and get some insights and support on. And I record everything. It was very clear to me from the beginning that everything needed to be recorded because there's so many layers. The more that we're accessing this interdimensional nature of ourselves, there are just layers and layers and layers of gifts and blessings and things to be uplifted and supported by in our journey. So by recording it, we don't have to pretend that we get it all in one shot, and we can go back to it whenever we feel led. It helps us relax, both of us, during the session because we know that it's going to be there whenever we need it. So it's perfect.
Yeah, I know. You know, when I first started doing these sessions, I didn't have the recorder hooked up, and people would say, well, what did you say? And, of course, you know, 10 minutes after I'm through, I have it a little eraser that just starts erasing.
Right, yes.
And so I had to put Powergrammo, you know, on Skype so that people could hear, you know, what I had to say maybe a month later or a year later. I'm still getting emails from people that are saying, you know, I pulled out your reading today, and wow, I said, you know, I wasn't ready for it then, but I'm really ready for it now. So
and there is new information. Yeah,
it's a good thing to record because it's when you record it, then you have, you know, the time, space, and energy later to go back and listen if you want to, you know. And I really think it's a wonderful thing that's happened with our technologies is having our grandma hooked up to Skype, you know.
Exactly. And I know I've listened to my session. I've had two sessions from you, and I've listened to them a couple times, and I love more than a couple times, and I love them. And I agree. There's also, I think, an integrity that we know that our intention is to offer valuable, timeless information, and we wouldn't be recording it if we didn't believe in it.
That's true. Well, you know, I had a session with you and someone else. The three of us were, you know, on looking at our chart.
Yes, yes.
I had not really had that experience that way, and I was just blown away by some of the things that happened with the three of us on the phone.
Yes, yes.
Yeah, I was just so glad that I had it recorded so that I could go back and go, oh, wow, listen to that. Yeah, it was that was a new experience to have the two of your charts in combination, because you were asking me, you know, how would it be for you to work together.
Yes.
Then I came in with the third energy, you know, to spin. Oh. I call it the three sister spin.
Yes.
Boy, did we have one.
That's right. That was like a third session I had from you. That one was really – and I'm glad to hear it was special for you, too, because that was really magical with the three of us, yes.
Yeah. In fact, a lot of times when I have someone that's coming to me for assistance, and when I get through, it's like it really assisted me to hear what came in the session, because part of that message was for me, too.
Yes.
And that's always, you know, wow, I need it, you know, like – glad I had a cosmic V8.
Right. It's just so fun when it doesn't even feel like work. When it's such a joy. It's such, you're so in the flow and so energetically attuned to your gifts and abilities, and that doesn't mean that they're not continuously expanding. I love that part of this process. I've told my close friends, if I ever start saying I'm done and there's nothing else to learn, please somebody slap me, because I am missing the big opportunity whenever I start to feel like I've stagnated in any way, because there's so much available to us in this timeline. Lavender, that's something that would be fun to talk about, is this concept of expanding timelines.
Yeah.
Is that okay?
When you think about the past, present, and the future being simultaneous, and a while ago in the news when Anastasia said something about a new astro, something that was, you know, billions of years old, how do they know that? And maybe there is no time for those things. Maybe it's all at once.
Exactly. So the simultaneous nature of time is one facet of it. But the other thing that I'm shown and that I'm practically experiencing is that, you know, those situations where if you ask even like family members that you were all there for, you know, Grandpa Joe's birthday party or whatever it was, and you each have a totally different version of what happened. The more that they show that to me, that as we become more, if you will, tapped into our creator ability, the more readily we can see that one thing actually didn't happen. And that is, it just, I love those kinds of concepts because it's such a mind bender. And it goes right hand in hand with quantum physics and quantum mechanics. In other words, the quantum way in which energy can function, the more that we are operating from these interdimensional energy pattern sources of source. The way that source energy functions is that light can switch between a wave and a particle. And the fact that science is having such a hard time trying to replicate experiments and get the same outcome because it's changing dynamically all the time, that is just so fun to me, because it's another demonstration of the game-changing nature of where we are right now. What is observed is affected by the observer. So as we expand our energy sensory awareness systems beyond the five human senses, connecting more fully with our, what I call our deeper, more expanded sensory awareness systems, not just a sixth sense, but actually a limitlessness of source sense, connecting consciously through our humanness from within, what we can observe and what is observed is entirely affected by us, by our energy. And I think it was 18 months ago when my team was saying, there's going to be so many fun artifacts and archaeological discoveries that help you create the foundational story of where you are going. And I said, was it not there before and we're just finding it? They said, no, you're creating a past to fit your future. And I said, so we really are galactic time travelers. And they said, nothing but.
Yeah, we're back from the future.
Yes. And what that means, I think a lot of us have this kind of openness or kind of like, oh, yeah, of course, we can affect our future. But the idea that you actually create a new past, I mean, wow. I love that there are different versions of the past. There's different versions of the present. There's different versions of the future. And to me, that just makes sense because then it's like another layer of freedom from the dualistic, polarized view that one thing has to happen and that you have to be on the same teeter-totter to get what you desire. Once we get to that zero-point frequency of source energy, we realize that it isn't about up or down to make even. It's source energy expressing itself no matter what others are choosing. We're creating our realities in more empowering ways that is from a limitless source of resources and energy. This is how humanity evolves and not only propels from where it was, it creates a new trajectory.
That's true. You know, I was thinking about what you said about, you know, people sitting around for Uncle Joe's birthday and everybody getting a different hit on what happened. I often wonder when we have big events and where everybody has to speak their truth about what they experience, when Mercury's retrograde, I wonder how garbled it gets. I wonder how the different perceptions will affect you differently when we have these. There's three times a year, three or four times a year that, you know, Mercury does go backwards in this. And our brains, it kind of gives us a time to reflect. It's a reflective time. I use it to write and to get my thoughts together. And then when it goes direct, then I'm ready to go forward. I use that time. But I was just thinking about what you said about how everybody has a different hit about what they're experiencing and seeing. And those people really have maybe the same experience.
Yes. One thing related to that in terms of an experience like Mercury retrograde that makes sense to me and it was shown to me and I see how it kind of plays out is that it's almost like I do see very clearly that my truth system is very much about how humanity does affect, for example, what can happen with a Mercury retrograde based on our vibrational state, kind of the net state of humanity as well as the individual kind of individuated spikes of energy that are possible within a conscious human, if you will, or a group of conscious humans, that there can be a sensation that there's a group of humans that can actually feel something like a solar flare or Mercury retrograde types of energies or other sorts of wave patterns energetically that assist in humanity's evolution by design, that we are not only receivers of that we're actually co-creators of that, so that there are those that sort of like usher in those frequencies and may actually assist, I believe, in smoothing them out a little bit so that they can be disseminated for the rest of the group in another way. So it's kind of like the usher helps you find your seat, and then you have the experience of the performance, if it's a ballet or a concert or whatever the case may be, and then there's a group that kind of thanks you for coming at the end. There's always a role that we all play. So some that are feeling energy almost like pre-event and then during the event and then post-event, we're all doing it in our own timelines based on different ways that we've wired ourselves as eternal beings and as the receiver and co-creator of this experience. So that was really, really fun to me because I noticed that some people were saying, oh, everybody's sick right now with this. And I was like, well, I'm not. I was a week ago. Or I'm not now and then I get sick a week later, or whatever the case may be. But we're not all experiencing it at the same time, and I find delight in that because if we were all on the floor at the same time, we would not function as well as a group.
That reminds me, you know, I go to my chiropractor every Thursday, and when I go in and I, just before the adjustment, I'll say, okay, what is the prevailing aches and pains of people that you've seen in the past few days. And he'll come up with two or three different stories to say gallbladder or right shoulder. Mm. And I do it every week just to see what the energies of the area of where I live, what's
mm-hmm.
going on with, you know, the aches and pains of people.
Yeah.
And there is a pattern. There's
That's
pattern.
It's fascinating, isn't it?
You know, it is. And there'll be a week where everybody has headaches, and then there'll be a week when everybody's got a gallbladder problem, and then their right shoulder. And it's just, it's, you know, I've been doing this for years with him, and I guess he wonders what I do with this information.
It just makes it more fun.
It makes it more fun. Well, Ariel, if you're there, I'm going to turn it over to you now. You have the switchboard, and Jill, I've just enjoyed having you to be our guest tonight, and I'm going to turn it over to Ariel to open the switchboard, and then maybe she has some things that she would like to share with you and talk to you about, too. So, Jill, later.
Thank you.
Bye.
Actually, we already have a caller that would like to speak with you. I'm just get the microphone open here. We're going to be talking to Thomas. Hello, Thomas. You're on the air with Jill.
Hi, Jill. How are you? I love your information, as you know. And while I was listening, you answered probably part of it, but I'll ask it again so that if there's any other information that you might share on it. Relating to just our remembering who we are, is it a natural evolution and timing to connecting to our creator ability, or are there specifics that enhance that process?
Oh, that's a good question. It is clear to me that there's no one right way to do it, and that as, you know, 7 billion aspects of source consciousness experiencing itself here, consciously and unconsciously and all the ranges in between, that we did not set it up this way where there would be one way to re-member our God consciousness or Christ consciousness. But to me, there are definitely things that I know I see work well, and that I personally have been assisted by from my team or whatever else is the case. So what's fun for me is to kind of unravel energetically some of the spiritual truths and beliefs that we sometimes walk around with. For example, there's a client of mine that's experiencing another spiritual messenger's work, and their truth is that humanity is a slave race. And I just, every time I kind of unpack that one energetically, I'm like, but where does it go from there? If humanity is a hijacked race and we've been so damaged, not part of the design plan, but like the plans were hijacked for humanity, then how exactly would humanity's sovereignty get restored? And that to me is so clear that we do have permission to do that this time, and that the story in that kind of teaching realm can be so, in my opinion, I allow myself to have opinions, can be so downward spiraling and so further separating, because it goes into this whole drama-rama of another version of the accused and the accuser and the victim and the perpetrator. I just don't see that goes anywhere. So I definitely have my preference and my opinions about what seems to me to be kind of the quickest route in terms of beliefs and truths and tools, et cetera, that help us more gracefully and naturally reconnect with our energy. And Thomas, you and I know each other. And there was one of the things that we shared recently, as you know, in the Aetna series, was this concept that what's new about the new energy series that we share is this notion that we don't have to clear out all the debris in order to know ourselves as source energy. Source energy is what we are eternally. We've just been unconscious of it and really, really masterful at being unconscious. That's what the separation age was all about. So when you start from that truth of, okay, eternally I'm source energy, and for whatever reason I'm here in a separated state by consciousness, but it doesn't change what I am in my infinite nature as divine energy. When you start from that, you have something to work with which to kind of compare and contrast. Okay, so this truth and belief, maybe that doesn't fit so. Maybe I don't want to wear that anymore. That truths and beliefs aren't our identity like we thought they were. Truths and beliefs are something that we as source energy use to experience ourselves. They don't identify us, so we don't need to take them so personally and be so defensive when somebody disagrees with our truths and beliefs. They're just like a, it's like a, I don't want to say a mask, but it's like a layer or a lens through which we are experiencing ourselves, and we can play with those. And does that one feel honoring of our source energy? And what is source energy to us? Is it condemning and judgmental, like a religious kind of God? Or is it an unconditionally loving and wise energy of which we are intrinsically a part? So I love the way that that my process has worked for me, which is obviously what I share. If something hasn't worked for me or I don't see the value in it in terms of re-membering our Christic consciousness, then I don't recommend it, and I just don't go there. So there are many, many kind of specific truths and beliefs that I feel and I share that readily assist, and I've seen with the people that I work with how dramatically transforming it can be. And it's fun, you know, to work with people that have been doing this 20 and 30 years. And there was one woman that actually, she said, "I'm pissed." She used that word. And I said, "Why are you pissed?" She said, "Why is it so easy now? I've been working at this for 30 years. And I'm mad that nobody made it this easy before." And I paused and I felt the love of source energy for her. And her team and my team quickly came together and said, "What if you were actually a part of making it so easy now? Because you explored all the other ways it can be done. You've read and experienced all the latest breakthroughs of spirituality. And now there is a new version of kind of a method or a manner by which we experience ourselves. And it's graceful and it's easy. And it will be graceful, more graceful and easier for more and more as humanity moves forward if they choose to." And then she started to cry, and she could feel the honor for herself and her personal role in that. And that just felt so wonderful. I was so grateful for her team for sharing that key insight. It wasn't that she'd done anything wrong. The energies weren't conducive to it being as streamlined as it can be right now.
Mm.
Thomas, does that make sense?
Makes lots of sense, yes. Yes. And when you had your very first experience with connecting with your team, what was your awareness of that? I mean, what?
It was weird. It was almost like a layer of myself was witnessing myself doing something that I, as Jill, did not know how to do and had never done before. And yet there's clearly this process unfolding. And the confidence kind of that I felt with it, it felt like I'd been doing it my whole life.
Mm.
So I allowed myself, by following my inner guidance, to put myself basically in this situation where I was in this class where I could, I almost feel like it's like my real self, my authentic God self, helping to guide me into a situation where it could show me another way to be. And I didn't fight it. I didn't question it. I didn't ask a lot of questions like how, why, what, where. I didn't interview it. I just knew that what was happening was real, was helpful, was uplifting, felt good to me, felt good to the other person. The other really good sign for me was that I wasn't energetically drained by it. You know, sometimes in our the way that we use either divine energy or just, you know, well, all of it's divine energy, but conscious or unconsciously accessing ourselves, we can feel depleted, like, oh, I've done so many sessions today. I'm done. I can't do anymore. I'm just so drained. I actually get uplifted by it. So there's a mutual net kind of gain that I get, and I know the clients tell me they receive. So we're not taxing on each other. I'm not leaning on their source energy, and if they try to lean on mine, I'm going to do what I do to kind of preserve my reserves so that they can lean on their own energy, which is, to me, the real goal, is to us to know ourselves as sovereign energy. Right. So it felt so natural in that bizarre, weird sort of way, like, what did I just do? Probably like a child prodigy would feel like, but I wasn't a child. I was 30. I waited until 39. My team called me a secret agent. I was a sleeper.
Wow.
But I did it that way. And I actually love that I did it that way.
And when that involved or opened up that first time, was that then an expansion of thought to that way, or was it a feeling?
It was it was not a thinking process. And that was the cool part too, is that I had such a well-trained mind. I really, really prided myself on my, you know, ability to analyze and rationalize and all these cool things. I've joked before that Ayn Rand was my hero. And it was a totally different way of energy moving through me. And in that class, we had a day of kind of teaching, or not day, but probably 2 hours or something of this is how you do it. And I listened, and apparently I followed instructions, because he said, don't think. And I was like, don't think. I don't know what that feels like, but I'll give it a try. I'm here. and I didn't think. I just closed my eyes, and I, you know, felt my heart space, and I just was very still. And I asked myself, is there anything that I'm feeling from this, or is there anything that feels like it wants to be said or expressed for whomever this ring is for? And I just, you know, it just like floodgates opening. It just flowed. And it wasn't a thinking process. And that is so challenging to describe. But, you know, when you're like making a grocery list and you're like, okay, I got to think about what I need. It's so not like that. It is mm-hmm. a completely different energy emanation. It's not linear. It's not looking for things, and it's not hard. The only thing hard about it is energetically setting yourself in that place and aligning yourself with that flow of source so that it can be expressed without getting in the way of the brain, saying, well, wait a minute, that sounds a little crazy. You sure you want to say that? If you just let it flow and you trust yourself, or you set yourself up in a position where you can trust yourself, because maybe you're writing it down in the safety of your own home and you don't have to share it with anybody if you don't want to, and then you can read it and reread it, et cetera. But I could see, as I was expanding more and more, the different kind of layers of the voices, if you will, or of energy that are within us. And there's, you know, what I like to call kind of the egoic voice or an inner child voice. And I wrote an article about this. It's entitled Which Voice Wins? And it's on my website at theplatinumage.com. There's this search field, and you can just type in Which Voice Wins? And I'm sure it'll come up as one of the articles. I think I wrote it in like January of 2011. And it was kind of my self-experience with these, you know, interdimensional layers of energy within me that was the outcome of my very first Blog Talk Radio episode. And there was a version of me that was like, you can never do this again. You said and ah like 100 times, you know, totally not prepared. You are not a broadcaster. And then there was another version of me that was like, what are you doing? You're in corporate. What are they going to say if they find out about this? This is way too scary. And then I was like, okay, there's another version here of me that has another kind of chime to ring here related to this. And it came later in the day. And that was another version of source energy that I felt within me that said, it was basically something like, we never said you were going to feel safe doing this, but do you trust yourself? Did you have fun with this process? And can you feel how exciting this actually is by not knowing where this is going and not needing to know where it's all going? And there was, anyway, so I wrote about it. I wrote about it probably much more better than I just said it, but that was a really fun message to share, because it really has helped a lot of people try to reconcile the different layers of kind of inner voices that we have that are not always loving, that are very judgmental and very self-critical of ourselves and others. And from everything that I know and have experienced about source energy, that's not source energy. That's twisted human unconsciousness stuff that either we can listen to and stay afraid our whole lives and not trust ourselves and not experience ourselves in an expanding manner. Or we can just kind of throw caution to the wind and say, I know you're scared and I know you think we're doing it wrong, this other version of me, but kind of like down because I'm doing things differently now. So watch out. We're just going to see how it goes. So it's a completely different way that energy flows and a different way to be, and it's way more fun for me than anything I did out of my highly trained left brain kind of manner.
Well, thank you. Very well said. Best ever, actually. So I appreciate it a lot.
You're welcome. Thanks, Thomas. I'm glad to hear your voice, and thank you for calling in.
All right, dear. Bye-bye.
Thanks, Thomas. Bye-bye. Well, we have another couple people waiting with questions for you.
Great. Okay.
And next we're going to be talking to Anne. Hi, Anne. You're on the air.
Hi. Hi, Jill.
Hi. How are you?
It's Anne Victoria.
Anne Victoria. It's so good to hear your voice. How are you?
Thank you. I'm excellent. I'm really enjoying listening. And the question that I have is, just to kind of lay the foundation for the question is I had a health event 2 years ago this month, and I was not a Western medicine person, and I had the benefits of being helped by Western medicine, so I kind of entered that world, but I've backed off of that, stopped taking all my medication, and just felt guided to put my big toe back in. So I had an appointment with a doctor, and I had a blood test taken. And so when you were talking about how the results of things are affected by the observer, I've had a lot of growth and expansion now over these last 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think my guidance to re-enter is because I feel much more in my sovereignty and more anchored, and I don't want to be us and them, good guy, bad guy. You know, I want to be balanced in following my own inner guidance and yet be open.
Yes.
And that's kind of, I think, you know, why I have felt led to go ahead and kind of re-enter this world, and I am kind of nervous about it, but I do think about these things because I know about all these things that, and also, you know, other people talk about how once the blood is drawn, it goes through a lot of different kinds of circumstances and movement and EMFs and fluorescent lighting and da 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 da, and then I've always wondered about the tester. And the influence of the results.
Yes. Yeah, that's such a great question. I totally see the relevance of what you're asking, given when we were talking about the quantumness of energy and the quantum nature, the quantum mechanics, literally, of energy now. Because, lab results.
And to go even further, and to add to it even further, is creating the new past in different versions. You could go on and on with just one simple thing that humanity has done all the time, a blood test.
Right. I know. You know, it's like where does it end? And is there an end? And where would we want an end to be? I would want an end to be feeling good, feeling really amazing. So was your inner guidance or inner sense of self and wanting to re-engage with the traditional medicine world, was that based on just wanting a checkup, or was there something going on that you were concerned about?
No,
and if that's
not,
too private,
no, I feel
okay.
Finally, I feel
okay.
Excellent.
And
okay. So I think that's the only way I could have gone into
it. I love that. I love that that you're going
say,
not
hey,
based
look,
on me.
Here, I don't take anything.
Right.
And of course,
how am I doing?
She said she's going to have things to say to me about that.
Right.
But I said, okay, I'll listen, but, you know, I think it's just me wanting to have an exploration of who am I now in this world with this particular, I mean, I'd be much more comfortable going to a Chinese doctor because I'm an energy medicine type person, you know, but I don't have any of those guys around here. So.
Right. Oh, this is so fun, though. And I love your situation that you're feeling great. So now you can kind of explore this in a very neutral, I want to say stabilized way of feeling yourself as Anne Victoria. And let their input on you be their input if you don't want to put your name on it, that, okay, I'm feeling terrible and that must be why. But you're feeling great and that they may still come up with something that they think is wrong.
That's why I'm asking this, right.
Yes. I had this very fun experience with a friend of mine, and she was, I can't remember what levels were off according to her awesome naturopath, but she said, well, such and such levels are off. And immediately I felt this, that God voice within me say, off relative to what?
Jill, that's it. That's it, because, you know, all the numbers are never low enough for Western medicine. No matter how low your blood sugar or your cholesterol or your blood pressure, it's never. They always want it lower.
I know, and our standards for what is good and what is normal are so homogenized, and we're so unique. And the way that blood flows. That there was one of my college professors, actually in undergrad, he had. Consistent, apparently, readings. He was a statistician. It was a business statistics class. And he said, you know, did you guys know that when you get your cholesterol checked, that if I learned from one, I think it's a phlebotomist, isn't it, that does the blood drawing and blood testing analysis. And he said, I learned from a phlebotomist that if you get your blood checked in one arm and the other arm at exactly the same time, you will get a different cholesterol reading. And he said, how statistically valid is that? But they don't tell you that. And I don't even know if that's true, quote unquote, based on what timeline you're on, right? But I was like, we use all these different measures of, I mean, I've had, you know, an irregular heartbeat, and I saw a cardiologist at one point. This was pre my activation and remembering process unfolding. But I remember I was scared. And yet, for some reason, I used that experience to be more centered because I was, again, that was probably actually, it was the spring before my activation where I was on Coumadin and I was like, this is crazy. I can't, at 38 years old, be on something like Coumadin and have people worry that I'm going to have a stroke. I mean, I can't live like this. But, you know, the stress of the left hemisphere of my brain is not a healthy way to live, right? It's not in alignment with thriving. So apparently that was another possibly precursor to my being more open that, well, you've got to figure out something because you can't live like this. And it's fun how the little pieces of my story kind of fit together and I realize, oh yeah. But I'm you haven't met with a doctor yet, is that right?
Well, you know, I've never had a primary care physician, and when my event happened 2 years ago, everybody kept asking me, who's your doctor? And I go, I don't have one. So I just went ahead and made an appointment with somebody who lives 5 minutes from me and not picky about it at all, deciding it doesn't matter. But I will see, you know, the main guy from 2 years ago. I am seeing him next week. But anyhow, I've begun again, you know. And I'm not being closed-minded. If there is an RX, that would be in my best interest. I'll be open to that.
Right.
But I had to feel, you know, recover and get anchored and centered back in my own whatever, you know, because it was quite traumatic. And and now start again from there.
Yes.
You know.
And I
have a certain trust in the universe that it's all good.
Yes. Go ahead.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
Yeah. And just that deepening my own discernment and my own guidance and what feels right to me.
Yes.
And all of that.
I do the same thing, but I don't admonish, you know, the traditional medicine, and when I feel led to go that way, I do. And I trust a universe that loves me, and I trust my own discernment, and sometimes when they prescribe something, I say no thank you, and I tear up the prescription, and I say I'm going to find my own way. Or I just realize that what they're saying, they think I feel like isn't what I feel like. It does really get interesting and fun at this point, because what we look like on paper is such a small speck of the story of what we really are, and what we're capable of in terms of thriving. And I had a really good laugh from my team about 3 years ago, because sort of near the beginning of my process, when I was getting routine blood work done, I have a thyroid. I had Graves' disease, so I need hormone replacement therapy for the rest of my life, according to the doctors. And it does work for me. There was my regular blood work, and I said, wouldn't that be cool if the doctor came in and said, like, well, Jill, we don't know what's going on here, but there's crystals in your blood. And I was like, that would be so cool. And they're like, well, don't hold your breath on that one, Jill.
Oh.
My team said. Because what they are trained to see, and this is, again, what is observed is affected by the observer. So energetically, they're not in tune to see that, even if it is there. And they said the crystalline nature of the human blueprint is not likely to be seen by traditional medicine for, like, possibly centuries after it is fully underway and readily materialized, if you will, within the physical form. They don't have tests to look for that stuff. And I was like, okay, that's cool. So when we see each other, we in an enlightened kind of, you know, light within, activated light within community like this, we can see the transformative glow that literally is emanating from within us. But others that aren't open to that ability for humanity to literally glow, they're not going to see that. They're not looking for it. It's not on their register as something being possible. But we clearly delight in experiencing it in ourselves and witnessing it in other people, because it's such a beautiful hallmark of how much more alive we are with source energy.
And
we're not in the process of dying
see.
Anymore.
Yeah. What we're trained to see. Yeah, and I know the cardiologist, just actually an adorable man. I just a typical nerd, you know, and because I could see that tunnel vision. It's like he would look at all those results and look at what's written down, and he was looking at what he was trained to see and only that.
Yeah,
And that was helpful for me to just observe that and notice that, okay, this is how he's trained, this is how he operates, and he's only thinking along these lines, and that's all he's looking for is that one thread, you know, and it's just helpful to be aware of that.
Yes, exactly. Yeah, it's like expecting the mail carrier to deliver your pizza. It's just not going to happen. It's good to have that discernment about what's rationally to be expected and where we can have those anything is possible types of experiences.
But so do you think that the person who analyzes the blood influences?
I think the whole process does. I really do.
Even the one who draws the blood, or even the state you're in when you get the blood drawn, or
I think our state of presence affects the blood. I think the vial containers affect the blood, and who manufactured those affects the blood. Not in a, you know, it's all, you know, tainted sort of way. But it's all energy. It's energy intermingling with each other. So, but that doesn't mean that it can't yield positive, if you will, or uplifting information for us to discern and consider. It's just that's the way energy works in this reality. There's so much unconsciousness across the board. Think of how many things we do now that we used to do that we're like, oh, yeah, I can't, you know, I don't know what we were thinking, but we don't do that anymore. You know, we don't use mercury thermometers anymore, as an example. And there's some things that we think are progress that I think at some point we'll go, I don't know what we were thinking. I personally don't like those light bulbs with the mercury. I know that they say that they're more energy efficient, and they may be, but the idea of all those light bulbs ended up with mercury in them, radiating and shedding light in my house. I'm sorry, for me, that doesn't feel right. The minute somebody said, you know, you can't throw those away, they need to go into the toxic landfill. And I'm like, oh, that makes sense. I'm going to run out and put those all over my house. No, not. Sorry, that just doesn't feel right to me.
Yeah, a lot of these practical things, it's just practical. Yeah, it doesn't make sense.
Exactly. Yeah, it's interesting. But, you know, some of us have different sensitivities, too. So the guy that I work with for my website, he hates cell phones. And he's like, please call me on a landline phone. He said, I don't even like the image of you on a cell phone, Jill. And I'm like, okay, fine, Adrian, I'll call you on my landline phone. But to me, I mean, I have all the other, if you will, evidence of my own experiences and consciousness, you know, deep, you know, expanded consciousness experiences that I'm still having, and I do use a cell phone. So it's possible that some are more sensitive to it, more affected by it, and that some somehow are not or are less so. So I think it's good for all of us to kind of literally think for ourselves in terms of what feels right to us. Do we feel good even if a doctor says we shouldn't? You know what I mean? If it doesn't show up on paper that we're we are well and feel well, are we going to
your numbers are too high, you should be feeling horrible.
Convince us otherwise and, you know, go through all this rigmarole. But it was fun. I mean, like I said with that friend, that she said, well, my naturopath said my levels are off, and immediately, compared to what? Because she had originally, I think, was stressed. And then when she heard it, which we both felt was kind of from our combined teams, she just lit up like, oh, yeah. I said, how do you feel? And she was like, oh, well, maybe not so bad anymore. We're just so used to letting other people determine how we feel about things.
Yes, and that is what I'm going to be exploring, is that the new me and reentering a place where many years ago I did give my power away. And I took all those antibiotics, and they really messed my gut up, you know. And I just blindly took them and not knowing what they were doing. You know, until they made me sick and I couldn't take them anymore.
Right.
But he's so much more awake and aware now. And
I know. It's so fun. And I don't believe that things have to be, how about that, universally bad for everybody. My daughters
don't get
flu vaccines. My husband does. And I mean, when I kind of, if you will, scan his energy, I'm like, he seems to be doing fairly well. Now, could he be doing better if he weren't taking those? Possibly. I don't know. And that would be for him to decide. But all I know is when my daughters and I actually did get the flu this year, oh, my gosh, the expansive, upgraded rewiring that we each, I could witness it. I could witness it in myself, and I could see it in them, how powerfully kind of upgraded we were from the flu. So I do believe that we're powerful enough for almost anything to be used for our highest good.
See, I love that. I would spread the word on that.
So that was fun. It was like, okay, I've got something. I don't know if it's a cold or a flu or what, but I'm just going to activate that this be for my highest good, that there be some sort of awesome rewiring process, and that I'm going to be even better on the other side of this experience than I was going in. And I totally felt that.
Well, the biology of belief is what keeps popping into my mind, and so it's a little bit like that. It's like I've decided this is really the outcome of this is for my highest good. I've already made up my mind about that. I believe that.
Yes. And if quantum mechanics is truly flourishing like I believe it is, even something like an antibiotic could be, if you will, reconfigured energetically to match our vibration so that we invoke it to be for our highest good.
Yes. And you talked about in the beginning, you said, you know, invoking your ability for invoking our heightened now, and that we can intend and say, I want to know my God self, my source creator energy, you know, and just affirm that.
Right.
And use that. You know, if you're taking Western medicine, say this is divinity too.
Mm-hmm.
This is divinity supporting my divinity.
That's right. And everything can be used to support our divinity mm-hmm. when we are energetically empowered enough in our source energy to make it so. And mm-hmm. that to me is so huge, because then with that kind of approach, we don't need the rest of humanity to get it in order for us to be well and thriving in our starseed origination and, you know, activating codes and demonstrating mm-hmm. Christ mm-hmm. to consciousness within our own humanness. We don't need others to get it in order for it to be real for us. And we're not going to keep it from them, because that wouldn't be in our heart-centered nature, but we're also not depending on them in order for us to know and create wellness.
Well, that's what one of the biggest shifts in me was, always wanting, never feeling validated for my own inner, because there was nobody out there validating it. Now, you know, like, you're constantly validating it ever since I met you, and it's wonderful. So it's much easier for me now to own it.
I love that. I'm so glad to hear it, Anne. Yeah.
Yeah. It really, when you just, nobody, you don't ever hear what you feel like you know, and what you're surrounded by is not validating, it's pretty rough.
Yeah.
But that's all changed now.
Yes. I love it. I love it.
Yeah.
Well, I'd love to hear an update from you at some point about how this all unfolds. This could be really fun. And
yeah, well,
doctor.
You know, I got to walk in there Monday and go, guess what? I haven't taken any of my meds for a year and a half. and just see, I'm just going to see what happens, you know. Just do it.
Yes.
Cool.
It's so fun. Oh, I love you so much.
I love you too, Jill. Thank you. I really appreciated talking about this. And I'm
Thank
sure
you.
There are many people who are in this same boat.
That could be. We are all supported. Yes.
Well, Western medicine, blood tests, blah, 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 when they're awake and aware. And, you know, I just don't want to throw the baby out with the bathwater, so.
We don't have to if we
right.
feel led that it can be assisting. So that's the power of belief. Yes.
Yes. Thanks again, Jill. Love you.
Love and blessings to you.
Thank you.
Thanks so much for calling in. Bye-bye.
Okay, bye-bye.
Well, we have two more callers with questions, so try to keep that in mind. We are going to...
Thank you.
We're going to talk to Fran. Hello, Fran. You're on the air with Jill.
Hello, Jill.
Hi, Fran. How are you?
Oh, I miss you.
Fran was at the retreat in September.
I was at the retreat, and also I did your awesome Aetna series as well, times two.
Yes, you did the original when it was shared in 2011 and the most recent group experience that wrapped up in December. Yeah, that was so fun to have you participating in that.
Oh, on my scribble page, I have X's and O's written all over it. I was just loving the last conversation and hating it all in the same, but not really. Only because the medical part, I love how we're called and we place judgment on the call to visit a medical practitioner. Specifically me, I'm going to say, because we walk in and we're like, oh, I'm not supposed to be here because I'm spiritual and I'm doing this and I'm healing this way. But we have to look sometimes on the other side of what we bring as interdimensional beings into that.
Mm-hmm.
And by not being judgmental and walking in to that medical appointment, lab, whatever it is, I show up big and I'm like, take my blood, do what you need to do, let's have this conversation, and I feel so big and I feel so loving, and I don't even know what's happening because I quit looking.
Oh, I love that. I'm going to switch phones, Fran, just really quick. I feel like this one, I don't know, our energy might be short-circuiting a little bit. Hang on just a second.
Okay.
Okay, I'm hoping this is better. Can you hear me?
I can hear you perfectly.
Okay, good. It might be warbling just a little bit, but I hear you.
Okay. Yeah, and you said something about our crystalline structure. I've been recently knocked over the head that many of us, and I'm going to say me, not in a big-headed way, but in a been knocked over the head kind of way, that there's something beyond the crystalline structure, and I'm walking into it.
Plasma.
I know. Holy moly. Yes. Yeah. So my question was not even that, but because I've been listening and I've been enjoying the conversation, somewhat impatient, but in a very loving space, because I'm like, I'm feeling so gigantic lately. So that topic being is there's so much out there. There's so many energies. We heard Lavendar and Ariel and everyone having the update of what's going on astrologically. We have teachers galore on the planet. We have people around us saying, look at this, look at this. I recently had some sound information, meaning I got in touch with sound. I'm looking at roses, and I'm like, I want to hear what you sound like. I want to feel your love. I want to feel. So I'm getting some really strong, different energetic questions and feelings in this body. So today I found out on a call. I just processed this. I'm like, I process things quickly, and I'm understanding where I'm coming from now. I process things. It's like I touch you and I process it. I look at you, I process it, and I'm bringing it in through me and making it bigger.
Yes.
So I'm feeling a new bigness of me, and I'm excited to share, but I would like you to touch on what that would look like, what we are capable of in our bigness. I just want to hear. I'm so excited because I've been tapping my foot. It's like I've been calling, everyone come with me, and I'm like, I feel more big than ever. So
yes.
Anyway,
there's a huge, I want to call it alchemy, because it is literally the transformation of so many kind of properties of the way that energy had been working quite stably within the past tens of thousands of years. And as we, as I want to call us activated divine humans, start to engage more readily with even our past memories, that we can recreate the energy that even is in the past record, past, quote-unquote, being an illusion that it happened in the past, but it's the way that they showed it to me, and I think I actually guided a meditation of this in a recent remembering workshop, or maybe it was a gifted webinar from January, but we were actually replacing records. It was almost like not quite the Akashic records, because it's like the cosmic records. To me, it's another layer of the record kind of keeping system, the record keeping of humanity even, genetics, forward, backward, bloodlines, et cetera. And we can actually take records, we have permission now to take records out and replace it with new records. And again, it's part of this galactic time traveler nature of who and what we are. So there are some memories that some of us have been having, just random kind of memories. And this, for some of us, started around March of 2013, where just these random little memories would come up, and we would remember how we used to feel about it, and we would feel now completely differently about it. We would be less in fear. We would be more in alignment with our eternal light. We would have another perspective of what it was or what it means now. And I, if you will, just did that with that recollection of my irregular heartbeat, according to the doctors, that I think helped me be more open to my first intuitive session from somebody else that helped open many, many energetic gateways and portals for me. So there are just versions of that going all over the place, and it's like the ultimate alchemy in terms of creating the divine human.
So what about this? There were people talking about upgrading our, I'm with another group. We talk about upgrading neurology and rods and this and that. And they were talking, and I kept seeing this blue indigo light frequency that is no longer crystalline structure. I keep seeing that we have moved beyond this crystalline structure. Is there anything you can talk about that?
For some of us, when we think of a crystalline structure, we think of a solid, but it's not. It's an energetic container that truly can morph and adapt and adjust as needed. So for me, the crystalline structure has always been more about a high/expanded vibrational kind of container or form, not just in the physical, but even in the non-physical realms, that helps kind of keep the energy kind of pure and pristine in order to be unfettered by separation age kinds of energy patterns. And a lot of us brought forward with us in our journeying, crystalline layers of, it's like another version of DNA records that are of a crystalline origination so that it wouldn't be, it can override, if you will, the genetic DNA of our human bloodlines. So they kind of override with these crystalline codes. I think for anyone that was thinking of them in a rigid sort of inflexible manner, there would be a natural transition of how that's visualized even, that it's more transmorphic in terms of its inherent properties to adjust and adapt and be incredibly flexible based on the situation and based on the opportunities that present themselves in our journeys. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Oh, really? Because I know I talked earlier today. Today was a big day. Every day is a big day. I love this. about the density of form and how can we do that. Oh, I feel.
Mm-hmm. What was that? Tell me.
I felt a little girl come in.
Yes, Georgia was just here, and now Olivia's here.
Okay, perfect, because I just felt them come in. I'm like, oh, I'm here. I'll pause. Awesome.
So Fran Ariel mentioned that there was one more call.
Oh, let's go then. Thank you.
I'm so glad that you called in, and thank you so much for your what you shared and the questions that you asked.
Yeah, beautiful. Let's go. Thank you. Love you, Jill.
Love you.
Thanks for calling, Fran. Bye-bye. And we have one more caller that we'll be able to take, and we will be talking to Eva or Ava. Hello, you're on the air.
Hi, this is Ava.
Hi, Ava. Hello. How are you?
Hey, Jill.
It's so good to hear your
good.
Voice.
Oh, my goodness. Wild times. I have absolutely enjoyed your conversation, and it's so right on with what's up for me. A couple of comments. One is about the blood work and maybe finding crystalline structures in there. One of my main mentors I've used to work with, a very high-level being, actually used to show us some of the blood work she got done, and she had these three-dimensional, on two dimensions it looked like a Star of David, but then they kind of focused in and out, and they were actually structures, so it's
I love
happening.
That. Yes, and I love that you had a situation where you could work with somebody and interact with somebody that has, if you will, the vibrational range in order to experience something different in the tangible physical nature of, if you will, the vibrational range to see another version of what was there. That is so fun. That is so fun to hear. Can you imagine? It would be so fun at some point if we have certain medical practitioners that are of, you know, accessing their interdimensional nature, and that we would, you know, they could like market themselves that way, and we could make sure that we see them if we wanted to to have the medical background
and
the high vibe.
Yes.
Yes.
And I think
let's say it this way: that will be fun.
Exactly. Exactly. And then one other question sort of related to the healing work and what's going on in 3D and shifting timelines. You know, I've actually started to wonder, you know, my doing energy work at sort of very new and different levels. And I started to wonder whether all of that is actually almost just shifting timelines. You know, as we are working and dropping into the zero point energies more and more and can facilitate that, you know, no matter whether it's healing work or tapping into guidance. It seems to become one at the highest levels almost. It's almost all the same. It's like collapsing everything. So, you know, I don't even know whether there's any difference between, you know, regular energy healing work and shifting timelines to what's in highest alignment and for that person at the time and possible.
I think I see what you're saying. There are definitely different ways that not only people are looking at the experiencing of timelines, but also different ways of experiencing it. To me, the concept of expanding timelines makes sense to me based on the fact that there are still the choices for a relatively 3D experience. And the people in my life that are not on their spiritual path, some of them do have these miraculous types of experiences where there clearly is, you know, divine alignment with certain things that are happening, and you know they're noticing it, but as much as they're allowing themselves to. And then there's other, you know, versions that look very much like your kind of traditional kind of 3D energy pattern of you know, feeling broken or feeling ostracized or feeling victimized or whatever the case may be. So to me the concept of expanding timelines helps. For me, it works in terms of the way that we are stretching what's possible for humanity while not feeling like we need to override the free will of those that are not choosing the same thing consciously within this reality, which to me is what didn't go well in Atlantis.
Absolutely, and I guess you're right. I love the term actually expanding timelines rather than shifting. Having said that, it seems to me now that we're even allowed more and more to really change the past or, you know, as in that experience you described, you know, changing the records, it's pretty clear to me that there isn't just one experience or past, you know, so there are definitely multiple timelines that are available and or that are expanding, because not everyone will live in that expanded timeline. So it's so multi-layered.
Yes, there are so many layers to it, layers and slices upon layers and slices. And to me, that makes it more complex, the way we're doing it this time. But it also, to me, is so much more honoring of free will, recognizing that free will in the separation age is a wide spectrum of consciousness and unconsciousness, and that they can intermingle between the two, that it's not, you know, either on or off. It's layers of consciousness and layers of unconsciousness. So it's pretty, I mean, we're just doing it in such a dynamic, and I think it's a sign of our mastery, actually, that this is not paint by numbers.
No, not at all. This is, never before painted to what we're engaging in right now. So it's
amazing.
And I guess my related question, and I have a hard time even expressing that, was really whether, for example, energy healing work, I mean, I don't even like to term it energy healing work because it implies that there's a healing to do, but whether that actually is basically just expanding timelines. It is helping that person to shift to an expanded timeline to the highest degree possible of given the energies available and where that person is able and willing to go and what's in highest alignment, whether essentially all energy healing is actually shifting or expanding timelines.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so what I feel really clearly about what you asked, and I'm glad you asked it again, Ava, thank you, is that the opportunity for the expansion of timelines is offered through a situation like you're talking about with energy healing or whatever term makes sense, energetic upgrades, energetic attunements, you know, those sorts, whatever word feels best to people. But what you are offering is another reality, literally, for them that affects their present, their future, and I would include their past.
Right.
Whether they choose it is whether it's created. Creation is, in this reality, includes the physical reality of the experience of the experiencer. So a possibility that's not consciously chosen remains a possibility. It doesn't become made manifest because it hasn't, that journey, if you will, hasn't been walked upon. That path is like a dotted line on the map of possible routes, but until it's walked by the being, by the humanness, consciously or unconsciously, then it doesn't come into play. So what I see happening is those of us that are truly pioneering the way consciousness can work in a physical reality, that's where we get the creation of new timelines. We are experiencing ourselves and what it means to be human in a truly not just revolutionary way, but what I call evolutionary way, because it's not even on the same wheel or cycle of previous evolutionary paths. It's creating a new timeline of evolution for humanity that is unfettered by what has been. It is truly dynamic enough to consider our precoding of what's possible for humanity. So all bets are off, kind of, in a way, of what could go wrong, et cetera, because we have such an amazing team here and support structure in place for us, put in place by us. So that, to me, is the distinction between whether a timeline is created or whether a timeline is offered as a possibility but possibly not chosen.
Right, right. And that is, I mean, that's true, period, no matter how one conceptualizes, you know, energy-related work. Because there's always free will, and one can only open the door, the possibilities, and then the other person can choose to walk through or not. Absolutely.
Yes. Yep. And the way that I like to look at it is, and I know we need to go, but we offer, we share, and we be the energetic range that we choose. But that doesn't mean that they accept it or that they receive it in the way that it was offered even. They may make it their own, even better version.
Absolutely. And it was difficult to come to terms with that.
Yeah, that can be
a
hard
choice.
One. Thank you so much for calling, Ava. Love and blessings to you.
All right. Bye.
Bye, Ava. Thank you. Well, we do have just a couple of minutes here, but I wanted to bring up that just last week on our show, we had a shaman named Gwilda Wiaka, and she works, she's a preceptor for the University of Colorado School of Medicine, and she is teaching doctors who are, men who are, and women who are studying to be, you know, the Western type doctor. She's integrating the energy principles from the shamanic perspective. So it's a whole
exciting.
It's a whole new breed that's coming out. So I just
want
to interject that for people that are listening that are still wanting to get a ray of light about the direction of Western medicine. She's been doing it for, I think, 20-some years, so that's a bit of good news.
Beautiful.
So I just noticed that somehow Mercury has disconnected Lavendar. She fell off the switchboard here, so I do need to wrap it up, though, because we're just about out of time, which is another mark of a good guest when the time just flies by, so we kind of been in a time slip here. But Jill, Renee Feeler, thank you so much for joining us this evening, and we are so grateful for the work that you're doing on the planet and for the way you present yourself in such a coherent and articulate way. So thank you for joining us once again. Your website is theplatinumage.com, and your next seminar class, is that what you call it, starting on May 1st? Is that what you said? Oh, my goodness. Well, Jill has dropped off, too. Okay. Well, Mercury's going direct in 10 days, so we'll just hang in there. But I thank you all for listening, and thank you to our team here, Anastasia, Fiona, and Lavendar. We'll be back next week, and thank you so much for listening. Bye-bye.
You've been listening to Starseed Radio Academy. Visit our website at www.starseedhotline.com.